Hello and welcome to the Whole Home Podcast. I'm Laura Letario. So glad you are here. Just a reminder to everyone, you can listen to the podcast at www.wholehomepodcast.com on Apple or on Spotify. And if you want to see a picture of each guest, you can follow the podcast on Instagram. Just search for Whole Home. On the podcast today is someone really close to me, the closest to me of any lady who has ever been on the podcast. And that is because she is literally three houses away. Today, I am sharing the table with my dear neighbor, Peyton Kester. Hello, Peyton.
Hi.
So, Peyton, we weren't always neighbors, of course. Although how that came to be is a fun story, but do you remember how we met?
I do remember how we met. I don't remember the exact day,
yeah.
But I remember the setting.
Come on, the minute.
No, second. I don't remember. I don't remember that. But it was at Brian Lachlan's community group that was led by the Kings.
Yeah.
And Noah and I were checking out Remnant. It was maybe like our second month there, so we're just looking at community groups. And we walked in the door, and I saw Ryan, who was my professor.
Yeah.
And I am sure that I met you moments later.
Yeah.
But the year, I think, would be like 2019.
Thank you so much for saying that, because my brain was like, I don't know.
It could be 20. No, I think it was 2019.
Okay.
Maybe 2018. Yeah.
I was going for 5 years.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I met you in their kitchen, which was like the hub of the hangout. And then I remember Ryan whispering to me, that was my student. And he was surprised you were there.
Yeah, I was surprised that he was there.
Yeah. So it was good, though. And then, I don't know, over time, it was just cool to get to know you better. And he was just refreshed and amazed by how much he said something had gone on in your life since you were his student. And
yes.
Maybe you'll share that later in the podcast. But he said you were a different person.
Yeah, definitely. I would say the same.
Yeah. So that's exciting. So, okay, 5 years of knowing each other. And then just want to say before we start talking that over the five-ish years of knowing you, I just felt, Peyton, that you were an instant friend. And I think of you as a pursuer of people. You have a wonderful gift of sitting in a conversation with someone for a really long time. And as someone who struggles to do that, I really admire that love and generosity in you. Not only are you hospitable yourself, but I observed you bit by bit making changes in your home, specifically thinking of how it will welcome others. I have seen an openness in you to push really hard towards Jesus. You are willing to share where you struggle, but at the end of the day, you are ready, really ready and willing to jump in for Christ. You have a gracious ability to speak truth in love and a spirit of service, and I praise God for you, and I'm excited to talk with you today.
Aww.
And so if you don't mind just kicking us off with some of your background and where you grew up.
Sure.
Okay.
You can jump right in. I don't know how you read those and don't cry. I'm over here like, that's so sweet. But yeah, I grew up not too far from here. So in Hanover, Mechanicsville area. Yeah, went to Atlee High School. So I feel like a lot of people from Remnant went there. And yeah, I basically grew up there all the way through grade school, but I split my time between my mom and my dad. My parents were divorced when I was around two. So the schedule was kind of like weekdays with mom to be at school, and then I did like a short weekend with my dad, and then every other weekend was like a long weekend. So it was either like Friday to Saturday or Thursday to Sunday. So it was pretty split, and he was over in Chesterfield, so we'd drive 45 minutes, cross the river, and be there. So that's kind of where I spent my time, but the bulk of my schooling and growing up was majority with my mom in Hanover.
So you started that back and forth at that young age at two?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was pretty young, but it's pretty much the only thing that I knew. I don't really remember my parents being together. But I do remember, like, going to both of, like, the new places that we were going to be living. Mm-hmm. So maybe that stands out as, like, an early memory because it was a big change, but never anything that we, like, really boo-hooed about because it was just kind of the course that life took.
Yeah. So you did that till what age, the back and forth?
I guess I did that until I was about 16, and it was pretty, like, a pretty tight schedule. But then once I got a job, my parents were like, okay, maybe we don't have to be so strict with when and where, because we could drive and had work schedules and extracurriculars and things like that. So it was a little more free-flowing once we could drive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep saying we. Did you have siblings?
I did. I had a brother. He was 2 years older. His name's Garrett. And I always explained to people that he was like, we fought a lot because we were with each other all the time, but he was such a staple in my memories and everything, just because we were with each other all the time. So like my memories are split where it's like, well, half my Christmases are with my mom and half are with my dad, but all of them are with my brother.
Right.
So we really relate to one another as far as being the only other person that really knows the fullness of our upbringing.
Yeah.
So
did you say you're similar in personality or different?
Oh, we're so different.
Yeah.
Very different. Yeah. He's maybe, I don't want to say nerdy, but just kind of like.
Nerdy can be good.
Yeah. No, it's definitely good.
Yeah.
And yeah, he has his hobbies and we don't really overlap in a lot of like common interests. Maybe that's a better way to say how we're different. Like I would rather be out with friends and maybe he wants to play on the computer or go to like GalaxyCon or, you know, something like that. So we're very different. But
did he ever rope you into anything? You're like, huh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, because he was older, I would say, like, you still, like, as the younger sibling wouldn't do the thing that the older one is doing. So like, I remember when like Pokemon Go came out and I thought that was like the best of both worlds because we could walk around and be outside and he could drive so we could go like find and catch the Pokemon, but it was also like a game. So every now and again, we got pulled into things. But I feel like most of the time he got pulled into what I wanted to do. So
that's funny. Yeah. So you're persuasive?
Yes. Yeah, I guess so.
All right, let's go to your parents first and then we'll come back to you. Tell me a little bit about your parents. What do they do? Where are they from? All that kind of stuff.
Okay. My mom is from Indiana and I guess moved to Virginia right after college to get away from home and spread her wings.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a dietitian, an exercise science major, I suppose. So she did that for a little while and she worked the entire time that we were growing up. And she got saved basically probably at the time of the divorce. So a lot of my like going to church and knowing the Lord definitely stemmed from her and from those habits. And she is just probably the toughest woman I know, super hardworking. She laid down everything to raise me and my brother well. And sometimes I look back, I'm like, how did she do that without the support of like a husband that she could lean on to support her? So she did end up getting remarried when I was about 7. Both my parents got remarried. And so that was dynamic, you know, merging with another family. And her and I weren't like always super close, but we definitely had like our highs and our lows. But at the end of the day, we're like, now we're like sisters. So that's really sweet. And my dad grew up where I grew up. So in Mechanicsville, he went to Lee Davis. So he's been here his whole life. And he has also worked my entire upbringing. And he does like telephone communication. So like has worked for like Verizon or now he works at Fort Lee and does all their telephone networking and stuff like that. I see a lot of my character and personality in him as far as just being, I don't know, go with the flow, happy to be around, have fun in a paper box kind of mentality. And he definitely, like, as far as like my upbringing, instilled a lot of like my most like a lot of my like silly memories or laughing or I was definitely a daddy's girl. Like we just went to Ucrops and ate pizza or and then went to the dump and I thought that was like
the literal dump.
Yep. And I thought that was like the peak of life. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going
out. Were you doing there?
Dumping stuff off, I guess. Like whatever we were working on, had to like, nice. Oh, maybe it was our trash service. Maybe for a while we didn't have trash come to our house. So we had to take it. But I remember being like equally super close with with both of my parents.
Peyton, that reminds me, you love to go to that place with clothes in the bins.
Oh, the Goodwill bins and rummage.
It makes sense now.
Yes, it does. But I always have really had like a positive outlook for my dad because he did drive 45 minutes to pick us up every day. And then he would take us to school and then go to work and come back and pick us up and was super dedicated to the split custody, even though it was very inconvenient. So I'm really grateful that we had a lot of memories and time with him. My mom always really like pushed for that.
Yeah. Was it ever an issue for him that your mom became a Christian and that she was teaching you and your brother about God?
No. My dad had some category of faith growing up, so I don't think it was a negative thing. He might have found it to be intense at times. Or, like, I don't know. You could definitely tell if we spent a lot of time with my mom and then went to my dad. My dad would be like, whoa, where'd you pick that up from? And then we'd spend a lot of time at my dad's and go home to my mom. My mom would be like, what? No, we got to rework that a little bit. So I think they could notice that a little bit in their parenting and things like that. But never, like, the fundamentals of, like, being a Christian were never a war ground or anything like that.
Yeah, I was just curious because the weekend thing with your dad, was he required to take you to a church or something like that?
No. So we did, we always went to church on Wednesdays. So that was like Awana, TNT, and then like youth group. I think that's what they're all called, K through 12. So we did that every Wednesday. And then we would have a short weekend with my dad where we did come home Saturday afternoon and went to church on Sunday. So we only went to church every other Sunday.
Okay.
And then with our dad, we didn't go to church.
Gotcha. So, okay. So back to you. Tell me about your personality as a young girl. If you can even remember it. I would have a hard time with this question, too.
I know. I feel like I don't have a good memory of that, but I have, like, I've had people tell me.
I was going to say, do you remember what other people said?
Yeah, I guess my memory of myself is that I was probably bossy and definitely, like, the friend with a plan. So, like, showing up to daycare, this is the game we're playing. Or you come over to my house, this is what we're going to be doing for the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this and that, and then we're going to make that and go there. Or, like, definitely the friend with the plan, and that later developed into being, like, I feel like the friend that, like, kind of corralled the people together to do stuff or hang out or throw a birthday party or whatever. It's funny, my grandma, like, comparatively to my brother and his behaviors, like, I felt like I was the angel child, maybe.
Yeah.
But one time my grandma came to watch us for a week. And then my mom came home because she was on a work trip. And my grandma was like, Linda, you got it all wrong.
Oh,
Peyton,
no.
She's the instigator. She's the one picking the fights. Like, Garrett was easy to blame because he's the brother and maybe has more grand reactions or gestures and all of that. But she was like, if you look closely, like, Peyton's the one that is starting the annoyances or whatever like that. But so I was like, oh, man. Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, and then I think, like, I was definitely a tomboy, like, played in the woods, pretending to survive.
Oh, you survive know? What disaster?
Oh, apocalypses, you know, or just maybe there wasn't even context. It was just like, let's build a shelter and see if we can make it through the day out here.
Yeah.
Which, of course, we could. But for us, it was like, yeah, it was fun. So
what about your family in Indiana? Did you see them or know them, or who were you close to growing up?
So my dad's side of the family, since he grew up in Mechanicsville, were all within driving distance of where he moved. So when my parents got divorced, my dad moved closer to his family. So we were like 5 minutes from grandma, 5 minutes from my cousins, 5 minutes from his sister, things like that. My mom, so the only person in Indiana is my grandma. All of her kids moved out of state, so my mom's side of the family is more spread out to like Arizona, Pennsylvania,
okay,
and Boston.
And then are you guys the only Christians then in your family, your mom and yourself?
Yeah, my mom, me, and my brother.
Okay. And your brother?
Yes.
Okay.
Is what I would say. My mom was raised very Catholic, so that still influences like my grandma and my mom's sister and my mom's brother. So
Well, that's amazing to think about the trajectory then.
I know.
To come.
She had an awesome neighbor that was so bold.
Really?
Yeah, to invite her.
Okay. You want to share it real quick?
I mean, I don't really remember it. We just had a neighbor growing up in before the divorce, and her name was Gay, and she just walked with my mom and probably knew more about what was happening than I ever did and was like, you need to come to church. I don't know. My mom just always explained that she was the one that invited her, which I'm always like, wow, that's such a, you know, important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, so. That is. So to your brother, though, how would he describe you, do you think?
Bossy.
Okay, also bossy.
Love it. And the one that probably got away with things or...
I mean, you were younger. It's your job to get away with things. I don't know.
Yeah.
It comes with it. Yeah. All right. What are some other childhood memories that you have?
Like specific memories?
Sure. Or maybe, because you talked about playing outside or I don't know. I just think you have a story that's interesting. Like you went between two worlds.
Yeah.
Literally in a matter of days. Yes. And then you're back over here and then you're back over here. Did it feel like two worlds to you?
It did. It definitely felt like two worlds. I had two sets of clothes.
Yeah.
They couldn't go back and forth between other houses. But yeah, I mean.
And two bedrooms, I'm guessing?
Two bedrooms, two sets.
Totally different?
Totally different.
Wow.
It's all that I knew, but I do feel like it matured me pretty quickly because I had to have like different categories than some of the kids around me for like, oh, I need to get this check for. What was it called? Whatever the money my dad gave.
Alimony?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Child support. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, child support.
To give that to my mom. And I was like, child support? What is that? You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, packing up my stuff and, things like that. But, yeah, I mean, all in all, though, like, we had a pretty good upbringing. Definitely spent a lot of time outside. And it definitely was, like, when I was up my mom's house, I would say both my parents were like strict in their own ways.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we went to daycare for a little while, but once we were in middle school, we stopped going to daycare, and it would be like, because me and my brother were home alone until my mom got home. She'd say, okay, when you get home from 4 to 5, you have to do homework.
Mm-hmm. Did you? Then,
yes, because I knew from 5 to 6 was our outside time.
Right, yeah.
And I would not miss that. So that was like running around the neighborhood and playing and stuff like that. And then we would come back in after and eat dinner and then ask my mom about any homework questions and then pretty much shower, brush our teeth, and go to bed. Like we had a very early bedtime, probably of like 8 o'clock until I was probably like...
Now? In your life now?
No, that definitely trained me to go to bed super early. I go to bed very early, for those of you who don't know me. But yeah, so my mom was very regimented in that, and I think that was kind of like just a good pattern for her to mediate having two kids and getting dinner on the table and also making time for her to spend with her husband and things like that. I did have a neighbor that I was best friends with, Daisy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
She was a very critical part of my upbringing. She's 5 years younger, and she went to Remnant for a little bit before moving to Florida. So a lot of my memories of, like, doing things are with her because my mom would kind of, if I was twiddling my thumbs, I don't know what to do, my mom would be like, well, what's Daisy doing? Go over there.
Yeah.
Go see what she's up to. And so sometimes her family would go out to eat or go to the park or whatever. So I remember doing a lot of tagging along with her family a lot, which was really awesome and fun.
Then at school, did you feel like the same person going back and forth? I don't know. Or were you just really just go with the flow? Because some kids I feel like respond, they just get angry or bitter about their circumstance, but you just kind of rolled with it.
Yeah, I think the only things that I was bitter about is that I couldn't do a lot of sports because they're every day, and that would have just been too much for my family to manage. So I remember that, and then I do remember sometimes getting caught in the crossfire if I was like, I was supposed to go to my dad's, but my friend wanted to have a sleepover, and that being really hard because, well, if I went to the sleepover or the birthday party, whatever it was, then I wouldn't get a Saturday with my dad for 2 weeks. And so I do remember like that kind of tug of it being like, kind of challenging, especially once I got older and custody wasn't locked in as much and we were just choosing where to go. It was hard for me to kind of, in most cases, I was with my mom more then because that's where my job was and my friends and stuff like that. I definitely had a different life at my dad's house, though. Mm-hmm. Over the summer, the custody was a little different. So it was 1 week with my mom and 1 week with my dad. And that was maybe more immersive of, like, I felt like I would get in, like, a routine and a rhythm and, like, have my lunches figured out and then go to my mom's house. And it was a little bit of yanking, maybe, because you would just get settled mm-hmm. and you'd finally get unpacked. Yeah. Then you had to, like, get it all together, go to the next parent's house. So there is a little bit mm-hmm. of that, but never any, like, big emotions, I wouldn't say. I loved, like, going to my dad's house. I was where my cousins were, and I had a different group of friends, a different neighborhood feel. I was definitely, like, the neighborhood girl over there because I didn't go to their schools.
But, oh, yeah.
So they didn't know me until I knocked on their door and said, do you have kids? Do they want to come play flashlight tag?
I was going to ask, did you gain any more siblings with those marriages from your parents?
Yeah. On my mom's side, she married Mike when I was 7, and he has 4 kids, but they are full custody with their mom.
Okay.
So we would occasionally see them, like, out for lunch or something, mm-hmm. but probably less times than fingers on my hands. Like, we didn't see them that often. Mm-hmm. And then my dad, he got married, I don't know the exact year. We had a stepmom probably from starting at, like, 4, but they may have gotten married when I was, like, 10. She didn't have any kids, and then they divorced. My dad got remarried again, and his current wife has 2 kids that are both equally like me and my brother's age.
Okay.
And so we see them when, you know, holidays and stuff, but they both live out of state. So.
So think of, I guess, middle school or high school. What kind of things were you into? Not sports, right?
Not sports. I definitely, towards later middle school, was getting into art, but I feel like I was just into my friends. Like, I just wanted to hang out, and I was probably a very clingy friend. I don't know if that has anything to do with
were you coming on the phone all the time, or you just go over and knock on doors, like you said?
I would knock on doors in the neighborhood, definitely, for sure, almost every day during that 5 to 6.
Are you the kid who, like, puts their hands on the window and their eyeballs and, like, are you in there? Knock, knock, knock.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have put it past me. I don't have any specific memories of that, but usually I would call over, and then if their kid was available. And they were, like, we rode the bus. I knew where everybody lived. We'd talk on the bus, like, what are you mm-hmm. doing? Get our plan together. And so it wasn't totally out of the blue, but sometimes it probably was.
Yeah.
If I was bored on a Saturday or something.
Were you a really studious kid?
I always had really good grades, but I think I just knew what to do to get to do well on tests. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say that I was super involved in school. Like, I definitely had a drive to, like, do well, but I wasn't maybe naturally super studious. But yeah, we did a few, like, extracurricular type things that weren't every day. So I did Girl Scouts K through 7th grade.
That's fun. You can start a fire.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
So cook. A lot of it was, like, project-based and going camping. So nice. I liked that.
And you go camping now?
Yeah.
With your husband?
Yes. So I like the outdoors, yeah. I did martial arts for a little while. That was part of my daycare that we started in 2nd grade, and I did that till about 7th grade, and I loved that. And that was when I met, like, a lot of my probably core friends, and then we did church on Wednesdays, so, like, a pretty full schedule, I felt like, at least. I do remember, like, getting technology really young.
Yeah.
And that being, like, I mean, I guess it's, like, once again, I wouldn't know anything different. But looking back, being like, whoa, that was, like, my world.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about a phone?
Yes. Yeah. Phone. I got a phone. This is kind of crazy. I got a phone in the 4th grade, which sounds really young, and it is. It was just a flip phone, but it was mainly for, or I guess the intention was for me being able to talk to my parents when I was at the other parent's house. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they would have to get through. Like, if my mom called me at my dad's house, she'd have to get through my dad before getting to me. And there was still a lot of like turmoil. So they just wanted to be able to reach me and my brother.
Did you share it with Garrett?
No, we both had our own phones. So the intention, that was the intention, I think. But of course that, you know, became talking to my friends or calling them and things like that. And it was just a text phone. And then I guess in seventh grade was when we got like the iPod, which was like had internet so we could like instant message people. And I think looking back, I just am like, oh my gosh, that was too much.
Mm-hmm.
I just got so clingy even to like my friends because I could instantly get to them or talk to them or
right.
We could stay up on the phone all night and all this kind of stuff. I was like, oh my gosh, that was so intense. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I probably like felt smothered by that
because
it was very unnatural, but also smothered my friends because I would go like away for the weekend and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What's happening at the party? You know, like call me, you know, I want to be there, but I can't, you know, whatever. And so I just remember that being intense and captivating, like all summer we'd message and FaceTime and all that. Ugh, too much.
Speaking of parties, did you grow up with a lot of rules or were your parents, I don't know, kind of let you have a lot of freedom, I guess?
I guess I should frame it as birthday parties was probably like sleepovers. They weren't very strict on that. Like we would, I definitely had friends with that I spent a lot of time at their houses or overnight and they'd come over to my house a lot overnight. As I got older, my parents had like, they would always call the parent before I came over or when my friends started driving, they always had to come into the house, you know, meet my parents first, usually just girlfriends. And if it was a boy, then I didn't want them to meet my parents so they wouldn't be picking me up. And yeah, I felt like it was pretty, I don't know. I felt like it was maybe stricter than some other households, but I thought, now looking back, I'm like, oh, that was pretty... I pretty much just asked and it worked out usually. Yeah.
So I'm curious to go back to the church you grew up in. What kind of church was it? And what was your experience with faith and trusting Christ and all of those things?
Okay. So I grew up going to Cool Spring Baptist. It's in Hanover.
Is it still there?
Yep.
Okay.
Still there. It was a pretty robust church. I wouldn't say it was like necessarily huge, but it had daycare. It had a gymnasium so we could, you know, they did basketball and hosted stuff. And my birthday parties were always there in the gym.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you could do a lot of stuff there. My mom does jazzercise there now. So
oh my gosh.
They just kind of, they had a library, like just a lot of stuff. So yeah, but we started going there, I guess, right after the divorce. And then we did daycare there until we moved to the martial arts daycare. But yeah, I guess until I got to middle school, like it was probably just what we did on Wednesdays and what we did on Sundays. I did get baptized when I was 7. So I guess I had some category for salvation and what that meant.
With your brother at the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
The way they would do it is like similar how... They had more of like a like an altar call, I guess, like if you, you know, have questions or want to talk about your faith or being baptized, like come to the front during the time of response. And I remember my mom saying, okay, like, you know, y'all both expressed your beliefs and your faith in Christ. Like if that's the next step you want to take, go forth, basically.
Yeah.
And so one day I think
Did you walk up alone?
Yes.
Okay, wow.
I think one day I grabbed my brother's arms like, we're going.
Yeah.
We're going up there. And then I remember we got up there and the pastor was like, hey, y'all, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I was like, we're here to get baptized. What do you mean? I think he was surprised to see us by ourselves. But then we had like a little conversation with the pastor at a separate time and both got baptized. So I think from probably then on, like I always had a believing hope in God and a faith in God, but not necessarily an understanding of just how much that would impact my entire life.
Yeah.
And that definitely was watered as I continued to go to church and youth group through high school was probably where it became just a little bit more, the teaching and the education became a little bit more hands-on as far as like asking questions and starting to understand and also be going through trials of my own that I was more conscious of and could, you know, use the scripture to work through. But I definitely also had my rebellious years, probably from like 8th to 11th, 12th grade.
Okay. So you have a smirk on your face. So that would be towards your parents, or in your mind, is it like towards God and everything? The world, was it like that big, or was it more specific?
I think it was just like, I don't know, maybe the way that I can describe it is like when I was young, I had like, I was just the person going door to door around the neighborhood. I was like, that was my stomping ground, I guess. And then once I got to middle school and got, or high school and had a car and was working, like the world was just so big and there were so many things that came into my bubble and yeah, that weren't good for me, but I went along with, and yeah, just a lot of trials and hardships. I think it probably made it harder that I was going back and forth a little bit still, or not super close with my parents, but most of the turmoil usually revolved around boys, so.
Yeah.
Usually so. But I remember just being really hard and really confusing. Like, I remember going through a time in my life in high school where I cried every night. I couldn't tell you why. Like, I don't think I was mad at God. I was not mad at my parents. I was just like, this world is so painful. Like, everything that was happening to me just felt so wrong. So
where did you go from there? Would you feel better at your dad's house or your mom's, or both? You felt that unrest?
I'd say sometimes more so at my dad's house, just because I was more separated from all the troubles and invites and opportunities, maybe you could say. I was more separated, so I felt usually a little bit more protected, I guess you could say. But I definitely, and I didn't have closeness with my parents about what was happening or all the things that were coming my way, but I did have closeness with the adult leaders in my youth group.
Oh, okay.
And so they knew, I wouldn't say everything, but they knew a lot of what I was being challenged with, or I was the girl that as soon as the door closed probably burst into tears about something, or there was definitely support there. But I definitely, I think because of the phones, felt pretty exposed or pretty vulnerable to those opportunities all the time. So,
well, what about your job? You said you started working right away. What made you want to get a job?
I guess I wanted to make money, I guess. My parents funded like activities. Like, if I went to go to a football game, it was $5. But if my friends were going to Sonic to go get milkshakes, maybe not, you know? So definitely encouraged me to start wanting to make my own money. And then it was the summers. I think that's when I started working, was over the summers, because we weren't in daycare and it was just too much downtime of like, what on earth am I going to do for 10 weeks?
Yeah. It's funny you say the other thing. Well, the kids and I, we were in Willow Lawn the other day and we just picked up some fries or whatever from Chick-fil-A, and they were in the car like, can you imagine the day that we can just go in and order a milkshake just for us? No. Like, don't have to share it, because, well, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, wow, it's going to be so cool.
I've probably shared some similar sentiments.
So where'd you work?
Oh, my gosh. I worked at CC's Pizza.
I remember the commercials for that.
Yeah, it's like a pizza buffet.
Yeah.
$5.99, all you can eat.
Yeah. Was it good?
I thought so, but I've never been super picky, so. But I loved it. We had, I mostly worked there in high school. That's when I started working, was ninth grade.
Oh, my goodness. Ava's in ninth grade next year. That got too real. Wow. Your parents would just, like, how long did you work? Like, how many hours? Holy cow.
Over the summer, basically full time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that was also one of those things that was good for me, kept me out of trouble when I was not up to my own devices. So I loved that. There was a group of kids from my high school that all worked there, and we all worked there from ninth grade to senior year. So it was kind of like out of a movie where, like, we all had to go to graduation. So I'm pretty sure they had to like close CC's Pizza because none of us could work. We were all graduating.
So what was your job there? What'd you do?
Everything. I started off just like bussing tables and maybe making a few tips here and there. And then I learned how to do the register. And then I learned how to cook the pizza. And then I learned how to, yeah. So
And you're not sick of pizza to this day?
Mm-mm.
No.
Would I go back there? Maybe not. Definitely not the first choice. So I did that.
So you started getting interested in the arts when?
Probably high school, but I do have a distinct memory in the first grade of looking at my art teacher and being like, this must be the best job ever. And they definitely did a lot of rearing in public school for like, what do you want to be when you grow up, and trying to get you in those classes. And so from first grade onward, my answer was art teacher. So I guess eighth grade, I got more involved. And then definitely in high school, that was like, as soon as I got off the bus, went and sat in the art room over lunch in the art room, you know, just all the time.
Like actually making stuff or just being present?
Probably at first, a little bit of just like being present and seeing what the older students were making, because I wasn't in those like super rigorous classes yet.
Mm-hmm.
But also then starting to like make stuff or help my teacher like take stuff out of the kiln and set it up, you know, for the day, or wash paintbrushes, or, you know, do something.
Yeah, that's initiative right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you. So what did that turn into? Obviously, at some point, you're like, I'm going to make steps towards actually fulfilling this dream, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think the career pressures really kicked in. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I going to do when I leave here? I was like, well, I guess I'm going to be an art teacher, and which means I need to get into art school. I need to have a portfolio. I only applied to VCU. So
okay. Risky.
Like, yeah. So I was like, I got to get in. And yeah, so I remember there was a class that I started taking, I guess, junior year, and it was just like a college level class. And it was a lot more intrinsic as far as like making your own projects, doing your own research,
mm-hmm.
doing your own experimenting, and making your own timeline for what you were going to create. And it would be like by the end of the 2-year course, because it was 2 years, you would have like several bodies of work. To
a lot of pressure.
Show. Oh my gosh, it was so stressful.
Sounds like it.
But it was good, because it was like it helped me fill my time, which was a huge blessing of like, I really enjoyed it. And I had a few friends in the same class, and over the summer we would do our projects together. And yeah.
Do you remember what your project was?
I was kind of all over the place. I just wanted to get my hands in pretty much anything and everything. I never had a mindset of like becoming a fine artist,
mm-hmm.
because I was thinking about being an art teacher. I was like, I have to get good at all of this.
Okay.
I want to learn everything. But yeah, a lot of painting, a lot of printmaking.
Yeah. Who taught you how to paint?
I guess my teacher.
In high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe a little bit of like just like self-learning too, until I got to VCU and actually had someone teaching more, not theology, but actual painting skills.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you have a mentor, anyone that you wanted to be like?
Yeah, I wanted to be like my high school art teacher. Her name was Miss Fairburn, and I loved her.
What'd you love about her?
Fun fact, I'm not an art teacher now. But I think that looking back, I probably just loved the space of the classroom.
Okay.
And I loved the workshoppy feel, and I loved how supportive and in tune she was with. She did have a lot of students, but only a few kids in the upper level class, on how attentive she was. And I think that was also probably similar to the relationship I shared with my brother, where I was with her every day, every school day from 9th to 12th grade.
Wow.
So probably at the time it was closer with her than I was my parents. So it was just a space that I loved being in and felt seen and felt like she was super attentive and cared about me. So that's probably honestly what it was.
Was she a younger lady or older?
She was younger. She was probably like 30.
I wonder if she's still there.
Yeah.
At Atlee, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So was there a significant turning point in your life?
I would say so. Maybe not an exact moment, but I guess to catch us up to speed to that turning point, I feel like I endured a lot of damage in high school. And
okay.
So by the time college came, I was ready to flip a switch. I remember in senior year having an exposing conversation with my mom, where I was like, probably just very dramatic growing up. So probably a little bit of drama, but also just beaten down by the world.
Yeah.
And I was like, Mom, I can't go to school. Mom, I can't eat. Mom, I can't go down the hallway without crying. Like, just overwhelmed. And she was like, you need to tell me what's going on. Is it this? Is it this? What is going on? And I was
like, this is your latter years of high school or earlier?
Yes. This latter. Is probably like junior year.
Okay.
Maybe junior year summer, like almost to the end. But I remember her just like naming out a few guesses of what could have possibly been causing me to, you know, be so worked up. And I was like, Mom, it's all of it. Okay. everything you said is happening to me. And I'm like, and it's so painful, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what her reaction would be. I thought I'd be grounded for months. But she was so, I'm going to try not to cry. But she was so sweet and so gentle. And I think she had walked that path before and had just a lot of sensitivity towards like, oh my gosh, we gotta just, I don't know. From then on, she was super attentive and really walked with me, asked me how every day at school was, set in some really helpful boundaries. I couldn't be out with boys after dark and those types of things that were really hard. But I was like, you're right. Like, I cannot be with boys after dark. And
right.
You're right. Like, after work, I need to come straight home and things like that. And her just being really supportive and not mad at me and didn't yell at me or anything like that. She just wanted to, like, protect me. And she also encouraged me to make new friends at school, which I did senior year. And those are the only people that I still talk to. And it's so funny because I just only had maybe 6 months of school that I was friends with them. But I remember walking through some stuff with her that was hard where I was like, Mom, this friend keeps asking me to hang out. And like, if I say no to her one more time, like, I'm just going to let her down, or, you know, she's going through it. I need to be there for her. My mom was like, you don't need to be there for her. You need to, it's not a good friendship for you. We'll go do something on Saturday if you have nothing to do, no friends to hang out with. And so I just remember feeling like, okay, got my mom there beside me. And so from then on, like, her and I were very locked in, very close, and that was really sweet. I wouldn't say that was a turning point in my faith, but definitely starting to open that category of like, I've seen the darkness, and I have a lot of things in my life that were glimpses of light, like my mom and my youth group and the ladies there, my teacher at school, that like, when I was with them or listening to them, that I was like, oh my gosh. Ooh.
Yeah.
My heart is not weighed down. Like, I feel loved, truly loved, and cared for. So, then I got to college and tested the waters.
You got in?
Yeah, I did get in. I got into VCU. And, I remember that was a big season of decision making because I feel like I knew what was good, but I also had a lot of,
what year is this?
2017.
Okay.
Yeah, so a year before I met Laura.
Okay.
So a lot happened in this year.
Were you nervous to, like, do something so different? And obviously, you didn't have to go back and forth between your parents anymore. And it was kind of like, it's probably all your choice in a way, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was definitely overwhelming. I did not want to go to college. I was very scared. Yeah. And like you said, it was all my decision making. And I knew it was my opportunity to make new friends, good friends that really cared about me and were kind to me. But I also knew a lot of my high school, because I went to college 30 minutes from my house, was also following me to college. But I went in with the mindset of like, okay, there's probably going to be all the same temptations, all the same battles, and it's pretty much all following me. Like, my mom had empowered me, I think, too. You can make these decisions. But schooling for freshman year was very challenging. Once again, I think that was just like a good thing for me to keep me out of trouble and keep me wanting to do well.
That's when Ryan met you.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Critical moment. Ryan was my first professor of my very first class.
Drawing.
Yes, drawing. And probably one of my most impactful professors, and probably like the first, I don't know, one of the first pieces that God, I feel like, put in my life to like slowly surrounding me by like an army of Christians that were there to show me the light and call me to walk with the Lord. And Ryan and I weren't super close by any means. I just remember every time he said something, I was like, whoa, wow, oh my gosh, wow. And then I remember finding out that he was a Christian, not from him, but from another student. And then that just completely changed how I listened to him. I know this can sound really silly, but I really thought Ryan was the smartest man I'd ever met.
Oh.
And that if he was following the Lord, that I was like, wow, like, he must have answers to these questions that I've been wondering. Or I didn't have a lot of men in my life, don't know, that were godly men. And so it was very stark to me. And so I was very attentive to all the things that he was saying, and went to open drawing studio that he would host outside of class. And
you did? I didn't know that. Oh, cool.
But yeah, I really just went to listen. Like, I'd just be like drawing over in the corner and listening. Because I was so curious. I was so curious about the Christian walk, but hadn't actually taken many steps. But I did have a random roommate who was a Christian who pursued me so hard. And I had some friends in class that were also Christians and that pursued me really hard. And I guess my distinct, like, pivotal moment was the Easter of freshman year, so I guess 2018 in April, that I had gone to church. I did decide to start going to church and like some student ministry stuff in college, and it was just good. And I was very attracted to it and felt very loved. And I remember after I hung out with the girls from ministry, they would text me and be like, it was so fun hanging out with you. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so nice.
Yay.
Why are you saying that? I don't know. Like, no one had ever, like, none of my other friends ever responded with such, like, affirming the friendship, basically.
Sure,
I didn't
yeah.
have that. And yeah, I remember on Easter, that was the first Easter that I actually grasped what that holiday was and the weight and magnitude that it had, and that this, and the salvation that it brought for me. And I also remember Easter night being with a boy from my high school and being faced with a lot of temptation. And that was the first time that I remember at least being like, no, I'm not doing that. Today is a holy day.
Yeah.
And I still barely knew what that meant, but I knew that it was so wrong to, like, I didn't want to slap God in the face on Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, he has brought so much good into my life. I literally cannot do this. And I left and I went home and I went to go tell my roommate, Arlene, and I cried because I didn't know why I'd done that. But it was the first time that I really remember in a small way, like, putting a small sin to death because I was choosing and trusting that what God said was good and better for me. And I guess that would be like, and then after that, I was like, wow, everything I give to the Lord and trust him with is really good.
Yeah.
And that, I think, was when I started, like, stepping more in step with God. But
keep talking. Keep telling the story.
Yeah.
So because sometimes Satan's like, nope, not letting you get away. Did you start to face challenges?
Oh, yeah. The attacks came on heavy.
Yeah.
Okay. Really heavy. And some of, like, the more haunting things in my life happened during that spring semester as my heart was changing. But I had a light to look at and a hope, but I was definitely still felt like I was being very attacked. And then I met Noah.
Yay.
Yes, then I met Noah, and that I feel like I can barely even put into words, but Noah and I met at my ministry that I was going to. And yeah, he was my buddy and my best friend at first, like, just helping me to be like, no, you don't have to do that, like helping me kind of transition out of the, honestly, the destructive lifestyle that I was living. And he was a really good friend to me, and obviously I had a crush on him. We were chasing each other so hard and, you know, really eager to be with one another, but at the same time, like, I felt like my spirit was so stripped of literally everything that I ever knew, that I ever thought I was, that I ever thought I wanted. And I had no idea, like, how to rebuild and what rebuilding even looked like. And a lot of that was explained and showed to me through Noah. Like, I remember the first day I met his parents, who've been married for like 30 years. And I was like, wow, can we come here every weekend?
Yeah.
This is awesome. They don't argue, really? That's what? Like, that was crazy to me. So yeah, he definitely was a huge part of my growth as a Christian and just making that a very gentle process. Because I think without him, it would have been a lot more like of back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, like old and new, old and new, old and new. But with him, I was like, I knew in my heart that I didn't want anything from my life and my past to touch him ever. I was like, oh my gosh, he's so nice and so great. And
yeah,
I will lay down everything to, like, if it means that I could date him. I don't know. Yeah. I felt very undeserving in the early part of our relationship. But
so were you having an experience of just a lot of internal stuff in your life changing, or was it more like, okay, these external things that I do have to change?
So many external things. I didn't know how to spend my time. I didn't know what to do, because everything that I did, every way that I spent my time was probably demonic and evil.
Yeah.
And I had no friends except for like my roommate and a few girls from the student ministry, but I'd only known them for maybe 6 months. But none of my friends, I don't know, my life was just completely, completely stripped down to the bare bones. So a lot of my rebuilding happened with Noah. Mm-hmm. So like hanging out with his friends was like so foreign to me.
And he had the Dinwiddie friends,
yes,
right?
All the Rolands and the Pages, but now they're the Belvins and the Foxes. So that was very foreign to me, that they like wanted to go watch fireworks. And I was like, this is so wholesome and great. Wow, I don't even feel like tempted in any way, you know, and I'm leaving with such like a full heart and all this kind of stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so are we up to the point where you guys started coming to Remnant, or?
Yeah.
Help us get there.
Yeah. So when Noah and I first met, I was going to Area 10, which is just, it's the church at the Bird. I was going there, and Noah was going to Smyrna and Dinwiddie, and we would kind of like alternate churches, but most of the time he was in the worship band, so I think I went to his church like most times.
Was he the front singer, the key singer? Your face.
I don't remember.
Oh, I was guessing the answer was no. But you.
I don't remember. Okay. I mean, maybe sometimes he played the piano, or maybe sometimes he played the guitar and sang. I think they had someone else who sang, though.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Probably piano.
Probably.
Probably. Okay.
But I also feel like he sang, so.
Pretend I didn't ask.
Okay. No, that's a funny question, because I have no idea. So we were going there, but it was just like a really big commute. As far as like, if I were over the summer living at my mom's house, for me to go to Smyrna was like an hour and a half from Mechanicsville all the way up there. And then I moved to Richmond back for school, and it was still like, I didn't have a car, so Noah would have to come pick me up and then drive me to church with him. And so we did that for a little while, but we couldn't really plug into the community because, well, he was pretty plugged in. I couldn't plug into the community because of the distance. And it was just not making sense for us to drive there all the time. And then Noah moved to Richmond in January of 2019. And so then it started to make less sense for him as well. So he asked the pastors there, the Rolands, and the lead pastor there, like, hey, do you have any good churches in Richmond? And because Remnant was training the Rolands and mentoring them in church planting, they had like a little bit of a connection there. So they were like, oh, well, we know the guys at Remnant. You should definitely go there. So we went to Remnant. Yep. That was scary for me, but ended up being like probably the biggest blessing of our relationship and marriage in our life. So
what was your mom's reaction? Did she notice changes in you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember her meeting Noah for the first time and her jaw dropping and being like, like, she's like, I always knew you would like find the one, but not this soon. Like, this is just crazy. Like, we were all like, it's so taken aback because everybody knew who I was 6 months ago. And my mom was super excited and definitely could see a lot of changes. I think my dad could see a lot of changes too. But I remember like first summer of me and Noah dating, my mom being like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm reading my Bible, Mom, actually. She was like, oh, okay. All right. She was like, why are you doing that? I'm like, well, I'm going over to a Bible study with Noah, and his parents are in the Bible study. So I need to know what they're talking about this week, because last week I was so confused. But
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really
so
sweet.
When did he propose to you?
He proposed.
And did you feel like a crazy person?
Yes. No, I didn't feel crazy. It felt like it just made sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we started dating in May of 2018, and he proposed in March of 2019, so 9 months later. I was so excited. I was like, I can't think of a reason not to get married.
Mm-hmm.
I was just ecstatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then by then, it sounds like God has graciously given you a whole new group of friends, and like you didn't have to go searching too long for those things.
No, not at all. No, things filled up really quickly. I definitely found a whole new family just with his parents, and they're some of my like biggest role models. And even the people at his home church were huge mentors to me and welcomed me in. I think were just so accepting and sweet. But then I think at the same time, like I was also making better decisions of like doing a lot of stuff with the ministry that I was involved in at VCU and getting some good friendships locked in there. But then also like coming to Remnant while we were still, I guess I was a junior maybe by then.
Really. Were you still in school when you got married?
Yes. Yeah. I got married December 2019. I cannot remember. Right before COVID, that's how I remember. So
I bet that was interesting to explain to an art world that's probably like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Happening.
Oh, yeah. I remember it was my best opportunity to share the gospel because literally mm-hmm. everybody asked, why are you getting married? Mm-hmm. And so that opened up a lot of conversations. And I was just so excited that I couldn't just be like, oh, you know, we just think that's what we want to do. You know, like mm-hmm. I was just had to share the good news and being like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, I definitely remember a lot of my professors question it. I remember a lot of my friends being like, this is crazy. Yeah. I can't believe this is happening. I'm like, I can't either, but wait till you meet him. It all makes sense. And then mm-hmm. they meet him and they're like, yeah, girl, you got to marry him. Do it.
So you're plodding along to be an art teacher. Uh-huh. What happened there?
Yeah. Honestly, this was a whole era of my life of figuring out, trying to figure out like why God had opened so many doors for me to go to VCU, get into the art program. Everything seemed swimmingly. It was going fine until my last semester of college when it just didn't make sense anymore. And I was mm-hmm. very confused and had a lot of like I wouldn't say identity crisis, more of just like, what am I going to do if I don't do this? My degree was literally art education. There wasn't much I could do outside of that. But the easiest way to explain it is that when I was in first grade, I didn't know that I was going to get married at 19.
yeah.
And that my plate of things to steward would change so drastically. Like now Noah was my priority and my church was a priority. And teaching, I think, maybe wasn't the most natural thing for me. So it took a lot of hours out of my evenings and a lot of my attention over the weekends. And pulled me from, I felt like if I was going to be an art teacher, that would have to be my whole life.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I already have a life, though. I don't know if I can give up my life for this. And we also had a small, I guess, we kind of knew that eventually I would be coming home in a few years. And so I was like, well, I don't want to spend 3 years of laying the groundwork and doing all the lesson planning only just to leave. Hmm. And so it didn't seem like a good investment of my energy and efforts. So Noah and I did a lot of brainstorming on like, what are the things that we can start doing now to prepare for coming home? And teaching just didn't make sense because it would prevent me from doing all of those things. So,
right. Hmm.
So I made a separation with that and it was very hard. And
yeah. You cried.
Oh, I cried a lot. I was so confused until the Lord made it clear to me that we're called to work 6 days a week and that's pretty much it. I didn't have to let my pride get in the way or feel like I was disappointing my parents or feel like if I wanted to work at the YMCA that wasn't a good enough job or, you mm-hmm. know, that I wasn't going with my degree or that I was letting people down. I didn't have to worry about any of that.
Yeah.
So once I kind of dropped those things, I could just make a way more clear decision.
Ryan and I both marveled at how, for you, it probably seemed like a long time, but how quickly that was clear to you and how quickly you responded to obedience, where I think, oh, a lot of people, I guess our sense of self-worth would have just been too strong and like we couldn't just step towards the freedom and it would just, you know, and you didn't. Once it became clear to you, that's kind of like what I said about you in the beginning, mm-hmm. like you'll step like full self after Christ once he makes something clear to you. And I don't know, I just remember marveling about that with Ryan, about aww. Some people just take decades and decades to get over themselves. And you're just like, no. And maybe you cried about it, but you still stepped all the way into trusting Christ. So do you regret that?
No, not at all. I think your point is exactly like has played out in multiple parts of my life, is that mm-hmm. I am, I do struggle with submission, but once the Lord has made something clear to me, or once like I've tasted and seen or like gripped something, then it's like I'll lay down everything. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy for me to take steps once I don't want to say once I'm convinced, but once I like have come to and have seen, then those steps are usually, praise God, pretty easy for me to take. And I also just had Noah rooting for me and cheering for me, and Noah's mom encouraging me, and my parents saying, we don't hold any of this over you. You don't have to, you know. And honestly, my marriage at the time was probably what led to me being so free to make that choice, which I would have never expected that I would have that on my side of like, if I didn't have Noah, I probably would have had to be an art teacher, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then you stepped into a job that you love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, which was totally crazy. I quit my job teaching on Wednesday and got hired at Maymont on, I quit my job teaching on Monday over the summer or something. And then I got my job at Maymont on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It was such a fast turnaround. And I remember they offered me the job, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, because I didn't think you were going to reach out. I didn't think they were going to call or that interview or whatever. But yeah, now I'm still there. I love it. It's been like a huge blessing to our family, and has been able to like do the thing that we needed it to do, which was keep my time after work, before work, and on the weekends freed up to be in church, hosting community groups, being involved in people's lives, and being able to give my full attention to our house and things like, no, I wouldn't say full attention, but.
And you got to be outdoors for a lot of the time.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like rang true to like the yearnings of my heart, I guess, getting to be outside and work in a beautiful place. And for the most part, everybody, what I do is I coordinate our venues. So I work a lot with brides and couples getting married, or people coming to like have an exciting event, a retirement party or something at Maymont. So for the most part, everybody's really happy to see me. So it's just been a really joyful place to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really precious. And I've also had the mentality of like, I know it's not forever. So every day I drive there, I'm like, I could cry, because it's just sweet. It's really sweet.
And then you get to drive in the grounds. What do you drive? So fun.
Oh my gosh, I drive a golf cart. I remember they told me that I would get a golf cart to drive around.
So legit.
Yes. And I remember being like, well, you had me at golf cart. What do I need to do? Where do I sign?
That's so, so fun.
It is so fun.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you before we close, just about taking the perspective of just things that you're thankful for that you can see now that in your life that you couldn't see in the past, if that makes sense. Something you appreciate now. Yeah, that's what I want to say.
I mean, I feel like I have like some pretty basic answers.
Okay.
But I mean, I feel like a lot of it was probably my family. I did not appreciate my family probably as much as I do now in growing up, and how much they just played a role in supporting me and being there for me, especially my dad. I don't know. I feel like this world is full of dads that are not involved. And there are probably many days where I was mad at my dad for whatever reason, but just so thankful that he was there to kind of balance from afar. I'm just glad that he was still there. And a lot of times I've always asked myself, like, God, why did you open these so many doors in the arts? Like, why was I so heavily involved in this? And I do remember when I was making the decision to step away from teaching of just being a little bit frustrated, because I was like, I've worked so hard. I don't know. But I really do. And I was talking, I think, with Brittany about it yesterday.
Okay.
Because she was like, how do you think God's going to redeem that? I'm like, well, he already has. Like, the arts for me, and it's still something that, like, I'm sure I will make art again at some point in my life, but really protected me from so much. And I'm just so grateful that God instilled a desire in my heart to create, because there were plenty of nights where I chose my projects over getting into trouble, and maybe I was stressed or whatnot, but it was just protected me in high school and protected me in college, kept me just on track. And
yeah,
I knew I couldn't like cross too many lines or make myself unavailable for my schoolwork, and that definitely protected me in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think it'll be really fun for you when you start having
kids.
When you have kids, I don't know how to say it. You say it.
I am pregnant.
Okay,
so
you are
my,
pregnant.
When my baby gets here,
I'm like, how do I say that?
Yeah,
when your baby gets here, as your children grow, just the things that you did learn, it will just be so fun. It'll like probably make your soul sing to pass it to them.
Mm-hmm.
just the joy of, yeah, creating things and the way that you've learned to see God's world and the way your eyes have been trained and your hands have been trained and, mm-hmm. yeah, all of that. Yeah. So, and as we know, as Christians, what was poured into you, there probably was creative people in your family line somewhere.
Yes.
And then to just see, okay, God, who's coming after me
yeah.
that I can teach and show and all those yes. kinds of things. So,
yeah,
I just really stumbled over that one. I don't know how to get it out. But yeah, I think you know what I mean.
Yes, definitely. It will be very exciting because Noah's a musician and
mm-hmm.
my dad's a musician and we have artists in the family and things like that. So it'll be so exciting mm-hmm. to nurture those skills and to do it from the lens that I didn't have in
yeah,
public
point.
School, you know.
Good point.
So.
So as we close the first half of your podcast, would you just take the opportunity to just highlight a woman in our church family that has meant a lot to you, maybe that has shown you Christ-like virtue over recent years, recent time, or just for a long time now, and mm-hmm. pray for her and honor her today?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
It was so hard to choose. Oh, man. Okay. I'm probably going to stumble through this because I didn't like prep too much in my brain, and sometimes complimenting people you just get overwhelmed because you're so grateful, but I am going to honor Elena Rowland for so many reasons. She was my first friend that I met through Noah's friend group, so a beacon of hope is what she has always been for me, and she's also just always been a few steps ahead in life with starting her family and stepping down from working. And I feel like I can't not say this about her, but she just loves Ben so well, and Ben loves and cares for Noah so well. Mm. So there's so much so much gratitude I have for her just caring for her family. I catch myself a lot desiring to carry myself like her. So she doesn't know it, but I'm always watching her. I'm always looking to her. Every time she is handling a conversation or telling me a story, I'm taking bullet notes of what she said and yeah, what God is teaching her. And so she's just a woman that I look to. She probably doesn't know it, but yeah, she's a best friend of ours, and I love her a lot. So I will pray for her now. Lord, thank you so much for this time today to just reflect on all that you've done in my life. I thank you so much for Elena. She is such a sweet girl to me and such a sweet friend. Lord, you have shown yourself to me through her in so many ways. She is a home to my heart, a home to her family, and a home to all the people that surround her. Lord, I pray that you would just bless her as she continues to raise her family walking beside you. God, I pray that you would keep her soul encouraged and that you would provide her with endurance and perseverance as she enters new chapters that are unfamiliar with parenting, schooling, and even just being the wife and the friend that she is. But yeah, Lord, I'm just incredibly grateful for her and for her friendship. I pray that I would have many more years walking beside her as a sister. But yeah, God, at the end of the day, even when there are seasons where we don't see each other as much, we are just so close in spirit, and that is through you. So I'm so grateful for that. But yeah, I just lift her up in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in a local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for his glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and his faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the Master Gardener is always at work, so let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.